I can tell. And this, what I think we should do is introduce you, you know, because this is Marion Weil of Westboro.
Born
in Westboro, raised in Westboro, went to school in Westboro, and has a great deal to tell us about many of the things that we're all interested in knowing about Westboro. Marion lives on Nurse Street, and can you tell me something about your house, Marion?
Well, the house that I live in was built within the memory of my father and mother, because they remember going by and seeing the house being built. It was built by a family by the name of Bombard in probably the early part of 1902 to 1906 or so, because it was in 1906, October 1906, that my family bought the house.
Were you born in that house?
I was born in that house, in a bed that's still in the in the house, cherry bed. And the doctor, Dr. Knight, who used to live in the house where, right opposite Forbes School, the big house down there.
Oh, I know which house, yeah, yes. It's not the house Dr. Boyd lives in now.
No, the
it's
side
the one
of it.
On the other side.
This side of it.
This side of it.
Yeah, and he delivered me. And
in his horse and buggy?
In his horse and buggy. in the morning, I guess, or in the early morning. He had delivered my brother in 1903 at the policing farm about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he asked where my father was, and my mother says, I guess she's out in the barn. He says, it's too long a day for any man to have to start this early in the morning. Of course, Dr. Knight was delivering babies.
Was still delivering I know. Well, what was that always now? Of course, that's still farm. Was it all? It was farm.
It was farmland. It was part of the Fay estate that was across the road. You know where Arthur George lives now. Where
mm-hmm.
It was given to the land that we have. I think was deeded to one of the men that worked for him, and he built a little shack on it, and then it was sold to a Bombard who built a house. The original of our house on it. And if there's anything the matter with the house, my mother said, well, a Bombard built it, you know.
That's why.
You know.
Where did you go to school? Now, there were districts in Westboro.
I went to school down in the Eli Whitney, in the Harvey School from the first grade and second grade, and in the Eli Whitney School through the seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
And had Annie Fales and Alice Gilmore and Elsie Hastings.
And who else?
Fanny Craffy and Catherine Reddy. And in the first grade, I had Blanche Winter, who still lives in town. And
She's retired.
Oh yeah, she's retired. She was taught in Denham after she left Westboro, but I think she was just out of normal school when she came to teach us. And there were people that I've talked with recently around town that remember those days Bennett Berry was in my class in the first grade. I can remember Bennett Berry and Damon Berry, who's just recently come back, Herbert Damon Berry, that was just recently put on the Council for the Elderly.
Yes.
I can remember him from the first grade.
How did you get to school?
We got to school by the trolley cars.
Oh, now tell me about that.
I was very fortunate because we could see the trolley coming over the hill from nurses, and it would give us time usually to run out and get it. And coming the other way, we could see it at Ward's Corner going toward Worcester, see? So we could see there weren't too many trees along, so the trolley went right by the house, and it went about every hour. We had tickets, school trolley tickets that we got from the teacher. Can't remember whether we got them once a week or whether we got them every day, two tickets.
Well, did the trolley go from Westboro Center to...
All the way to Worcester.
But it went on
the
North Grafton Road.
Yeah,
on Nurse Street.
Yes, because
that was the main street. Buses have done mm-hmm, since then, mm-hmm. But that was the trolley. Mm-hmm. So they gave you tickets and
mm-hmm,
you...
Mm-hmm. Why those trolley men were just great friends of ours as anybody in this world. We had the ones that we liked and the ones we liked most of them, and they liked us. And
as the youngsters do with the bus drivers.
And there was a Mr. Moulton that used to live where Wilkinson does now, and he used to get on the trolley, and he had pennies, and he used to throw the pennies for us to all scramble for, and a penny to us was as much as a dime or a quarter to kids nowadays, I guess.
How long was your school day, Mary?
School day, I left home after 7, sometime after 7, and we came home on the 3 o'clock trolley.
Pretty much like it is now, as far as hours are concerned.
Just about like it, and we had probably an hour at noontime, and us kids who came from out of town, out in, from the suburbs, ate in one of the rooms, and we got the dustpan and brush and cleaned up, swept up the floor afterward, and put the dustpan and brush away and so forth.
Because they didn't have cafeteria.
We didn't have cafeteria. No, but Annie Fales started the first school lunch program in a way, because she had Edna Beeman and myself and Alice Stanford, who's another one right back.
Yes.
We made hot chocolate in one of those, in one of the offices in the Eli Whitney School. And I can't remember, I suppose people brought their own cups, I don't remember now just how it was served, but I remember we had a label. But we brought the can of milk, you know, like 4 quarts of milk, you know, and so forth, and heated it up on a plate, I guess it was there, because there was no stoves, of course. But that was Andy Fales. Maybe it was an oil stove we had, probably.
Yes, well, I was wondering what kind of heat you would have had, you know, in the building itself.
It was heated by coal. Mr. Higgins, whose son used to be chief of police in Westboro, Bob Higgins, mm-hmm. was the janitor, and Mr. Higgins took care of all the sidewalks and shoveled the coal, and I took care of the cleaning up of the rooms, too, because he did it all.
He was a general custodian.
He was a general custodian. He didn't have other people working for him. The kids all worked for him because they all liked him so well. And, you know, different people would, different ones would gather up the waste baskets, I think, and bring them down to the basement. And, of course, they burned the rubbish right in this
the
furnace.
Right, the great big furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Did you...
And he had both schools, the Harvey School and the Eli Whitney School.
Because they're quite, they weren't what we considered a school district, because school districts
after 1865
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There used to be a school district over on West Main Street. There was a school over about near, quite near where Selectman Porter's house is now, I think, or Chatteris.
By Adams Street, mm-hmm, up in mm-hmm, that area.
Yeah, there's a lot of place. Mm-hmm. In my time, I could remember where the little place was, where the school was built. It was in the entrance into what was Strongman's Land, which is now part of K Street.
Study, you know, the arithmetic? They weren't one room classrooms.
We were all in most grades we were all in the same class. There might have been a few grades where there would be half of the room would be of another grade, but most of the time Annie Fales also started the system where some of the smarter ones helped the slower ones, and we used to go into one of the little rooms, the other office, or maybe it was the same office where they made the cocoa, and help them with their long division, you know, with their any subject that they were having trouble with. You were sort of like monitors or something. You know, it was a great honor to be able to...
I imagine to be selected. To help with that. Mm. But did you farm? Did your mother and father farm? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we had cattle and garden things. Not prosperous farmers like the nurses, or not prosperous
no,
farmers.
No, but you, for yes, your own, yes, for your
had,
own
yes,
use.
Yes, we had probably up as many as 30 cattle. 30,
oh, that's a good size.
And lovely animals. And Harry Smith told me just recently that my father had the nicest looking team that ever came into Westboro. And he's, you know, wishing he had
the horses.
Horses, yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. yes. Did you?
They were farm horses.
But you, yes, mm-hmm. they would have been, mm-hmm. The farm
and,
horses.
My father bought them when they were, you know, young, four years old from O.A. Kelly in Worcester. And I guess probably for a while, every month, a payment was made for the horses, or else for the dump cart,
or something like that.
Or else once a year was the mortgage.
Once a year.
Yeah, and then, maybe it was twice a year, it was $33, I know. That was for $1,000, we see. Of course, mm-hmm. that was the mortgage. And then there was my father's insurance, and we always knew that, you know, the money went for Dad's insurance. But money wasn't, we didn't worship money so much in those days. There were many of the kids that went to school didn't have any spending money, and there were two that I remember especially that did, and it was quite unusual. One girl, Ella McKean, who lived up where the Ashwests live now, was always able to spend all the money, all the change that she got in the store, and it was quite a treat to go to the store with her.
With her. Did you go downtown from school, like, to...
Yes, we got the bus down almost down by Pages. We got the trolley.
The trolley.
Almost down by Pages. Or we could get, sometimes we waited at the corner which was then Winchenbach's store, where Ruby Stone's mother had a candy and general store.
Confectionery store, yes.
And I can remember different people who are still living now, waiting for the trolley there too, you know, other kids.
Yes.
And
this was not just for the school children, though, was it?
No.
It was for everyone in town.
Everyone, yes. There was a waiting room there, mm-hmm. and people would...
I think
she provided it, probably, went along with the business.
Was the... had the depot, the railroad station...
It had been moved.
It had been moved by then. Because some of the... pictures mm-hmm. that we have
the depot was still there, but I mean they were using it as a freight station.
The tracks weren't going across Milk Street any longer.
No, the tracks.
Did the trolley go down?
Went all the
East
way down.
Main?
You went down East Main to see down where Tufts Machine Shop was, the car barn. That's what they used for.
On the other side. Now, was the straw factory, or had that burned by then?
No, the straw factory is in town, and the straw factory was up on Phillips Street. Mm-hmm. Off Milk Street, and when I went to school, the curtain factory and the shoe factory and the different ones that burned in, maybe it was 1914, there was a big fire. They were still there, and also the inn, the Westboro Inn, or I've forgotten what they called it, but a beautiful little place about where the Forbes Community House is now, with a cute little hotel like.
Oh, and down where Bay State is now, you mean,
not the community? Not where the Keating Block is.
That's what I was trying to think, the Keating Block. They had a little hotel that the women who worked in the straw factory, well, the hat factory,
mm-hmm.
used to live, the National House, was that it?
Well, no, I don't believe so. A lot of the people that worked in the hat factory lived on Underwood Court, you know, in...
I know where that is, mm-hmm. yes, the little road off East
mm-hmm.
Main.
Mm-hmm.
But there was...
The road off, through the cemetery, you know, when you go through Memorial Cemetery, going to Grove Street, there's Underwood Court there. And a lot of the people that worked in, like, the hat factory, the ladies.
We have several very interesting pictures down at the library, and it says that mm-hmm. this was, the women were mm-hmm. Boarded,
oh,
you
boarded.
Know, were boarding mm-hmm. at
mm-hmm.
this National
mm-hmm.
House,
mm-hmm.
and it was provided mm-hmm. by the hat shop.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
And this is on the, almost where that Keating would be.
All right,
Keating,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, I don't remember what was at where the Keating Block was before it was built, but it was built in my time
mm-hmm.
by Jeremiah Keating, and he named the building for himself, and he was one of the Democratic politicians of the town, I would say, and a builder. He and the DeArmonds built most all the buildings in town, but Peter DeArmond built the town hall and built the Forbes Block, of course, the Forbes Community House, and built the Forbes High School.
High School.
Yeah, and
it
also
was
built
the high school.
Yeah,
it was
high school. Yeah, and that was built the year after I graduated from high school. I mean, I'm in the last class that on the old high school that was down on School Street, where the housing for the veterans, or I don't know what they call it now, but anyway, the housing for the elderly, and not elderly, but subsidized housing.
Yes, yes,
mm-hmm.
down
on School Street.
And you were the last class then, because
mm-hmm.
the
there
library
were two schools
was
down there. It was a mainland school where we went for the eighth grade and then the high school. And the high school dates way, way back.
It was, they were handsome brick buildings.
Yes, very, very nice.
Very.
Yeah.
And what class did you graduate with?
1925.
1925.
And the next class, which will have their reunion this year, graduated from the Ford School.
Is this Lorraine Burhaus? She's had her 50th, I...
Oh, yes, Lorraine's ahead of me.
She was talking about having her 50th... Well, for instance, if you were downtown like that, could you not get on that trolley, for instance?
Oh, anyway, you can get on anywhere along the way, just like you can get on a bus anywhere along the way, and they're always looking in that trolley.
Were you expected to go home and do your chores, or did you have any, you know how the youngsters have school activities now?
Oh, we had no school activities after school unless we were kept after school.
Oh, dear.
For any reason, and I don't remember ever having, and I don't believe many of the kids that lived outside of the school were ever kept after school.
Your discipline.
Our discipline, I can remember in the fifth grade laughing at one of the teachers when we were having lunch period, and Miss Hastings being very much upset because I was one of them, and we had to do long division at noontime. We had to come in every noon. We never, after we had our lunch, we went right to doing long division for a period of maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know. The punishment didn't make the impression as the fact that, you know, she was so disappointed to think that any of her noon pupils, you know, were the ones that laughed at somebody when they told us to do something, we didn't really respond
the way she thought you should. Sure. Mm-hmm. So she gave you long division as a discipline.
As
well,
a discipline. And
not too bad an idea.
It was a good idea.
Yes,
it was a good idea.
But, for instance, were your recreation or anything that you got together with your schoolmates, was it...
It was at noontime. We played jacks, or we played skip rope, or we did... We had a recess at about 10:30, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the noon from 12 to probably quarter past 1, probably. I think that was our noon. I'm not sure exactly, but I know it was long enough for the children around town to go home.
To go home, and yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you got into higher grades, when you got into high school and all, did you have school, dances and?
When we got into high school, school was from like 7:30 or 8 o'clock to 1, and then we were through at 1 o'clock in the day.
Did you go longer period of time?
We had no lunch period. We had lunch after we got home.
For instance, did you go from September to
same
June
as it is now.
Same as it is now.
Maybe a little bit later in June. Maybe not till. Maybe we didn't get out till about the 25th or so of June. And we always started either the Tuesday or the Wednesday or Thursday after Labor Day. You know, it was always the same. I don't think it's...
Did the girls have cooking classes
sewing? We had sewing, and Rachel Deering was my first sewing teacher, and Rachel, that was in the fifth grade when I had Elsie Hastings for teacher, and she taught us how to make an apron and a sewing
bag. So you could
bag.
Cook.
Yeah, that's right. But we never had cooking.
We had
cooking after I graduated. Maybe as soon as they had the Ford School, they may have had cooking.
They had
sure.
more facilities, probably.
Yes.
It was a larger building.
Yeah,
yes,
we had no facilities, really. And our chemistry lab was up on the third floor of the old high school, and two or three of us worked together on our experiments.
Uh-huh.
But we thought we made do anyway.
It's amazing what you can make do with.
That's
Did
right.
you have languages?
Yes, we had... I took 4 years of Latin and three years of French. Those were the only languages at my time. But previously, when my sister was in high school, they taught German. And I don't believe they taught Spanish in any of those times. But
no.
I think just German and French. And
we
had excellent
Spanish
now.
They
yes.
do speak
mm-hmm.
to.
Yes, that's right.
And they teach German and,
mm-hmm.
and the Latin and
mm-hmm.
the French.
And but we had probably the best teacher. We had the best teacher that Westport has ever had, and that was Helen Murphy, Helen Crow, who later was Mrs. Murphy and taught in West Point, just died a few years ago, but she was the best English teacher. I think everybody that graduated from West Point High School in her time would say that. And she was strict. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that children respect authority and respect discipline. If you know your limits.
Yes. You have to set the guidelines.
Yeah,
you do.
That's right.
For them.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But this is the only way to learn.
Mm, that's right. Okay. And then when you go out in the world, it's like that.
It's a hard, cold, cruel world
it's
out
cruel
there,
world.
And it was back then, and
that's
it is
right,
now.
Yeah.
Yes.
It probably was, maybe it was more, well, I don't know. I guess it wasn't more so because I don't believe money was worshipped so much in those days. Then I was going to tell you about the people who had the carriages with the Surreys in town. You know that?
Yes. You said something about the vinyl farm.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, the vinyl farm, which is where Becker's
Lane is. The
Becker's,
yes. 167 West Main Street.
Yeah. They may have had one, I don't remember, but they were more or less retired. Mrs. Vinyl used to take summer boarders and so forth, and they had farm, but they hired the farming done. My father worked for the vinyl farm at one time. And but the Ward farm, which is where Farlands live now.
Yes, that's an old house.
That's an old
house.
They
yes.
had a beautiful surrey with a fringe. And
they have a pair of horses? Or just
I think, you know, it must have been a pair.
Mm-hmm.
And nurses had a carriage with a fringe. And I always used it to go Sunday to church.
Yes.
And there was a Mrs. Garfield that lived up on Glen Street, the further end of Glen Street. And she had a carriage with a fringe. And then there was a Mr. Budrow that lives in a little red house on this end of Glen Street, just above Ashworth. And he had a Democrat. And he used to go off and down over old, in fact, always he went home over old Jasper Street, the street that the town wanted to discontinue a few years back, saying that nobody ever used it.
And of course they
do. Yes, he did all the time.
Every once in a while they bring that up at town meeting, don't they?
Yeah, that's
they,
right.
They want to discontinue
right.
some road that's been there for
that's right.
the
and
early 1800s.
And are quite...
Were they dirt roads? They weren't
paved.
Oh, dirt
they
roads. Were,
the first road by our house was rebuilt in about 1914. And Mr. Henry Chase was the road commissioner, who was later a selectman. And... they did the work. The people, Charlie Banks, who lived down on East Main Street, where just before you get to Julio's Market on the left, that beautiful place where they had the two dogs.
Yes.
But Charlie Banks had a beautiful
Scotty dogs.
He had a lovely pair of horses, and they used horses to bring in the sand and gravel and so forth, and got probably a lot of it from where Andrew's gravel pit is some at that time, you know.
You mean up on Otis Street?
No, Andrew's down below us.
Oh, yes, right down below you on Otis Street.
Used to be Stearns's. And the new road, the new nursery street, was built in 1931. Previously, you see, we'd use old nursery street, but they straightened it out at that time.
Mm-hmm. You can still see it.
Yeah, that's
it's
right.
Still there. What did they oil it, or did they wet it down, or?
After a while, they put. Afterward, they started tarring it. But in the old days, I guess no, I don't think they ever. I guess the nature will wet it down, and they probably scraped it toward the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had scrapers, and they had steam rollers in those days where they rolled after they. After they built a piece of road or fixed it over.
Well, what did the trolley? Did
the trolley went the old nurse road, and it went down around, and it would go every hour, and until midnight. Sometimes.
My, that's yeah. better than what we have
oh,
for
much
service
better,
now.
Much better.
It?
And I was thinking, I think the buses died into Westboro. First, they came, Terry Kallstrom had an automobile service between Woodville and Hopkinton and Westboro, and it was probably the early part of the 1920s. I know in 23, he had a bus, and I'm not sure whether, I don't believe the trolley was running at that time to Hopkinton, but when I went to school, trolleys running in all directions, one to Marlboro, one to Northborough, one to Hopkinton, and one to Worcester.
You could really get around.
Oh, yes,
couldn't you?
And for 20
you were
cents,
not.
For 20 cents, you went from Westboro to Worcester and 10 cents to Marlboro, and I imagine it was 10 cents to Northborough, and I don't know, probably 10 cents to Hopkinton. I don't really know because we never went that far.
No, but you could certainly get around much more conveniently than we can now.
Yes.
And the trains
I heard my mother talking about going to Marlboro to shop, you know, and going by trolley when my brother was little. And then in 1924, Carlstrom started the bus service in competition with the Worcester Consolidated Trolleys. But having gone to school all these years on the trolley and knowing all those men that, you know, our favorite bus trolley men, motormen and conductors, I still stuck to the trolley for my senior year in high school, even though I had a choice.
And so you did, and well, the trolleys, if they ran so frequently,
yeah,
they were
ran,
so inexpensive it was...
That's right. And it was, I couldn't see, you know, the bus competing with them when they were doing a good job, but of course it was the trend of the times, that's what I was...
And
the first automobiles, I should tell you about
the
first...
Oh, yes, tell me about those.
One of the first cars that I ever had a ride in, and then one of the first cars in Westboro was over... at White's, and White's is over on West Main Street where the big house
on West Main.
Yeah, West Main. What's the name of the people that live almost opposite where K Street comes out? The big square house. Before you get to the where McCain's used to live.
The Fannis.
Fannis house. A family by the name of Whites had that as a summer house. They lived in Brookline and came out to Westboro for the summers. Incidentally, that house was built by the DeArmonds. And anyway, this man had an old Knox car. And of course, my father worked for him, so I had a chance to get a ride, you know, with him. And of course, another thing.
Do you remember what year it was?
I couldn't tell you, but recently there was a list in the paper of the old numbers, and there's some woman, I think in Brookline or something, that has the old number. I think my brother said it was like 73 or 93 is registration number. It's under 100, you know.
That was the first of the cars.
And they had a son that went to Harvard, Merrill White, and Merrill and my father plowed with the car. He being a young fellow, you know, experimenting, and my father was a strong Nova Scotian, of course, and used to farming and that, so he could do almost anything that anybody else could do, and so he held the plow while I plowed some of those fields that's now part of K Street.
Well, that was a powerful car.
Yeah. Oh, yes, it was.
And those engines really could push.
And then the nurses had a car, and Mrs. Nurse. And that would be LeJoy's mother, was one of the women that was could drive a car. Yes, and down where Quicks lived was a Major Flynn, who was a retired. Well, he was colonel when he died, I guess, but he was retired from the army, and he had two maiden daughters and a son, and they had lots of horses, but they also had a Ford car. It was probably 1923 Ford. It was certainly before 25, and because it was, they went to the Episcopal Church, and I often got to ride home with the Flynns.
Did the World War One affect Westboro very much? I mean, as far as sending off men,
it did, because my sister went to World War One, and I was very proud to wear a service badge for her, and we can remember other people in town, people. Had their service badges in the windows, you know, in the front doors, and I can remember the day the armistice was signed. I was in Alice Gilmore's room, and of course it was a false armistice, but I don't remember, you know, the difference between one and the first and the second, but November was 1911.
It wasn't too many, it was only a
few days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you see, we started getting the Boston, it's just Globe, Boston Post in those days, and I can remember the big headlines. About the war, you know, especially when the war was declared.
Did it make a difference in how many men went, or what did Bay State go into? Did any of the factories go into any kind of, you know, ammunition, did we have any change?
I don't remember so much about that, but people did enlist, and they did start to draft after a while, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember just what people in town enlisted, but...
No, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, so often it would mean...
Yeah, I don't know, I think the hat factory, I don't know whether they continued making hats or not. I don't really remember about that. Because I was in sixth grade when the armistice was signed,
mm-hmm.
and I remember getting... You know, paying 26 cents a pound for sugar and having a hard time getting it.
Getting the sugar,
mm-hmm.
the rationing.
And remembering, but before the war, and probably during the war, I don't remember when going into the stores seeing so many people shopping as you do nowadays, and even in the grocery stores. I think, especially when I was very little, I think people decided.